Let's go. Faster than data, bro.
Do you know you just actually said in the episode, what am I?
Yo, that energy, though.
Hey, listen. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you once. Miriam came late to the show. She invited a stray who was earlier than all of us. I was late because of one reason. There's a Sunday school teacher who's getting married today.
Oh, and that's why you're wearing the suit and whatnot.
Looking dapper as I'm, and you didn't even compliment
me. I actually wanted to. And then I forgot to ask what was the occasion.
It was, you know, I'm out there looking for.
That was the excuse for coming in late.
Listen, so this is the thing that bugged me the most, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I went to the wedding and I left just before, like, you know, the speeches were being done, so the food was gonna come after.
Oh.
So for the Nook Nation, I'm here hungry.
So what put a coleslaw near is
No. I looked at the food though. It looked very bougie.
It wasn't rice and coleslaw.
Listen, the rice was there, but it looked like jollof. Right, and I've never had jollof rice.
Serious?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yes. All right. So you're hearing another voice. This dude is from MSU.
Come on, dude.
So he's in support of things that we don't smoke. What up, Mark? How you doing?
I'm so
quiet, Mike. Mark came here all hyped up, and now he's scared.
He's now all defensive.
Look at you.
Guys, come on.
Like, damn, why did I go to MSU? I should have gone to AU.
Should I whip my straight? Like, I've got a whole speech prepared for all this.
I was about to say, should I whip a condom out? Because we know you guys, eh?
Snap.
And we know you have condoms easily accessible. Like, just...
No. I don't walk around with condoms. What do I look like? A person
with... But you work at condom making factory. Let me correct that. Sorry. You work with condoms.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
He's a condom technician.
Oh, can I have some?
No, I'm not a condom technician.
He's a condom technographer.
You can't tell me nothing about rubber. Okay. But you good? You did good, Mark?
Yeah, I'm good.
Awesome. Thank you very much for coming through. And of course, we've got Miriam.
Hello.
How did you guys meet?
We work together.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So Miriam is boring at work, aren't?
Nah, she's good.
I'm actually pretty cool.
Say that. Do you have a babe? Because,
well, all I can say is she stood me up for lunch yesterday. So.
Shame.
Yeah.
But that's good, you know, because...
Technically, it wasn't my lunch.
Well, it was yours. You're planning it. So.
Yeah, but then it was a supplier lunch, and wow.
So, yeah, I'm still waiting for that lunch.
I'm loving this.
I'm loving this.
Miriam, how you doing?
Bruh, I'm actually sick, hey.
Why?
Funny thing, let me tell you. I started running this week again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then the very first day that I started running, I made, like, a school vat load of lemon water. And I spent the whole day drinking this vat load of lemon water.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, in the evening, I started sniffing and coughing and sneezing. And I'm like, this does not even make sense at all.
That was the signal. Stop doing it. That was the signal, mama. Stop it.
That's the signal.
I love it. I'm actually sipping on some right now.
Because Miriam is lovely. Do you know when you know you're truly salad, right? When you've got like a fancy cup with water with lemon inside.
No.
Like, can't you just drink regular water?
Exactly. No, like you see, the lemon infuses in it, and it's got like all these little minerals and vitamin C and whatnot.
All in the name of what?
It tastes nicer also.
Oh, please.
For some of us who actually don't really like drinking water, if you put like lemon or cucumber or a bit of watermelon, it tastes amazing. So, yeah. It's also like a motivator for me to drink more water.
I'll stick to another city council water. Thank you very much.
Ew.
Yeah. No, do you know what? We're going to talk a lot about what's going on in Harare today on the show. So thank you very much for joining us, all those in the Nook Nation. And let us go to about... No, actually, we're going to have hot takes today. I read to go.
Yeah.
I read to...
Let go.
All right, sure. Okay. This sounds like some music from a retro...
like a rave show.
Like a rave show, right?
Yeah.
So it's good.
But it's actually kind of cool, though.
Okay, cool. Let's do hot takes. All right. Jacob Zuma got himself a girl who is 24 years old.
Bro, I saw.
Uh-huh.
Yo.
She's beautiful.
She is actually really pretty.
Do you think a president who met a girl is not beautiful? Come on, man. Like, you know,
she's
your president.
Gorgeous. I remember someone on Twitter was like, bro, clearly I've got my priorities wrong when it comes to making money. Why haven't I done this, huh?
Because, listen, you're not ready for the spare.
But then he's Shalos. Like, isn't Jacob like 70 something years old? Like,
listen, Southern African presidents,
guys,
have got weird ways of, you know, I'm just saying, I don't know, look, Kama is a single, Kabe, yay.
They've got a way of what? Of making sure they do the do.
They've just got really, really a wide spectrum of how they want to go about marriage. Let me just
that is just that hectic. And I wonder what she's doing with her life. Like, did she aspire to want to get married to a 70-year-old
president? And Jimmy Nugget, don't aspire for marriage. Look at them. Aspire to get married to an ex-president. That's fine.
Look.
Mark, what do you think?
Nkandla.
Nkandla.
Nkandla. Yes, Quincy. Nkandla.
So do you think it'll be, do we call it babysitting?
Ooh. Bro, I think he's old enough to be your granddad, though.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like, it's just...
Listen, that's not rare in Africa, like, to be honest.
I know
you.
It's not rare, no. But it's just, no.
It's just still sticking to presidentials and royalty.
Grand babysitting.
What do we think of, from Swazile to Eswatini?
That's cool.
Change
that's,
the, I like change it. The name
of I like it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's like really African. That's like Wakanda, bro. Like, you know, Wakanda for
Eswatini.
Him, right?
I was about to like, what is Zimbabwe going to like? No, Zimbabwe already changed.
It's already changed. Yeah, we're already there.
I think it's pretty cool.
We can change it one is. More time. We can change it one more
what?
Time.
No. Wow. To I don't new know. Dispensation.
No, but Eswatini sound, it's got a nice ring to it. I wonder if the people will still be called Swazis. Or they were then changed to Eswatinis, even though I heard that Eswatini means people of Swaziland.
So what are you? I'm an Eswatinian.
Yeah. No, but they said that Eswatini means people of Swaziland. Or people of Swazi.
Stop swatting those Swatinis.
Yeah, so I don't Swatini. Know how they...
What are you? I'm Swatini. It actually has got a cool...
I'm Swatini. Swatini. Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
But I don't think it'll be as saladic as that. Like, you know... Like,
it'll be like, Eswatini!
Eswatini! Alright.
Yeah, but it's cool though. I like it.
But what do you still thinking to Swaziland? What do you think of his other youngest wife committing suicide?
Oh, I remember she committed suicide because she wanted to go to her sister's funeral, I think. And then Ovarambizwa. And then already she was already isolated from the other people and whatnot. She was depressed and whatnot. Then she ended her life.
I think that was a sign right there for the upcoming wives.
Not marry a king.
But they don't have it. I don't think they have a choice. Because isn't they go Boy, out there? Isn't the reed dance like a ceremony that actually sort of honors the families of these girls that will be dancing because they're like virgins and whatnot? And then if they get picked, yay!
This guy now is how many wives? How many wives does he have now?
I wonder if you
they're more than 13.
Exactly. I mean, can I do it all night?
They're
more
than 13.
Hey,
guys,
listen.
I think it is assistance from Confidence.
Confidence will go like one quarter of them. Like, I've got them well taken care of. Baba.
Exactly. You should call Confidence.
Listen.
To get some confidence.
You know how they like Zimbabweans outside Zimbabwe. Uh-huh. Listen. I'm going to show you a thing or two, man. Listen, plus he's got some education.
Exactly.
It's all fit
to Confidence.
Yeah.
Confidence.
All right.
But I was saying that I feel like in a lot of African cultures, people don't prioritize mental health, and no one actually knew that she was having issues.
That's really true.
Apart from when she actually killed herself.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But why is it like that though? Why do African societies think mental illness is for white people?
Because it's the demons.
But haven't you noticed that with African culture, we are taught not to like show our weaknesses, even if you're having problems, Mumba, if you're or something like that, right? So you're not supposed to
because it stinks. Serious.
Like you're not supposed to.
Now you're making it a whole show.
You're not supposed to like show your weakness. So if you're weak emotionally, it shows that you're not, you know.
But I mean, I'll speak for myself. You know, I've been depressed on quite a number of times, and
yeah,
that's when you see that this is real, bruh. Because I mean, dude,
it's hard, and unfortunately, it's hectic. I just wish there was some, you know, there could be some modification in our culture that accommodates that.
Yeah, it's called moving out of Africa. Anyway, let's.
That song first love Africa. We love home.
Wakanda forever. Alright, let's. That is just where my hot takes. I was gonna talk about Beychella on the hot takes, but yeah.
Yeah, her show was amazing though.
Yeah. The tweet that we're talking about, you can't say Beychella and Jonah. I like that tweet.
Anyway, you can't even say that. Like,
hey, Beychella.
Beychella.
Yeah. Just don't say it in Shona because you're like,
How do you say it in Shona? That's the same as saying you can't say Beyonce's name in Shona. What do you say?
Oh, Beyonce. No, but you can. You see, it's different. You say Beychella because if you say Beychella,
But you call her Queen B, so you have to like stress that B though.
Yeah, I'm saying, but then not all Shonas can say B properly.
So say B properly because her name is Beyonce.
Okay, fine. Beychella.
Queen B.
Beychella. Hey, okay, let's get into about a week ago. Got so many things to unpack.
Yeah.
This week I read.
It's been a long week.
For the spear. Are you 24 years old?
Was that it for hot takes?
I've got nothing else. Do you have anything you want us to talk about?
Oh, okay. Well, we were going to extend on the Swaziland thing, but anyway. Okay, let's move on to the next thing.
About a week ago. All right, so we had actually paused the start of the show because Miriam wanted to go like...
Well, you know what? I actually have a flu, so...
I actually have a flu, so it's allowed.
Do you know how I know your bae loves you? Because your bae listens to the show and they've been listening to the show ever since you've had that phlegm, and they still love you. Right?
I know.
I wonder what your kisses are.
You.
What's fun? Oh. A phlegm kiss. Yeah. All right, cool. Let's start with
something. What you just did right there is no better than what I've been dealing
with. Okay, you know, listen, just so you know, trends and confidence are going to be in the filling station, right? So we'll talk about the paper. Right now, let's talk about things that are actually putting a whole Zimbabwe into the field. Nurses. Nurses getting fired by the deputy president and the president endorsing it. Do we like this or not?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Hit me. Why?
Oh, first of all, the reason why they went on strike is because they were owed allowances and salaries, I think, dating back to 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So obviously they had a reason for them to go away.
Yeah.
And not pitch up for work. And then the second thing is that the fact that their own boss technically didn't fire them, but like a boss of a boss of a boss, boss.
But now.
And it's like. Is that even legal?
No, to me, here's the thing. Because the HSB, which is the Health Services Board, I think has now handed them firing letters.
Yeah.
For me, firing them, regardless of the fact this HSB was their own boss, for me, is wrong.
Yes.
Because, for me,
8 years. Yeah. How old is it? 8 years. 8 years.
One Adam grade three, Sha.
Can you imagine?
One Adam grade three.
True for some kids who came to school late.
Exactly.
Shout out to some of us guys.
Mm. Exactly. Mm. So you can imagine. I mean, all that money. And you're now being told, hey, you know what, if you run your job, just...
And also, they're saying it's 17 million. I mean, how many nurses are there, one? Mm-hmm. And is it going to cover all the years? Because you can just come up with a figure willy-nilly, and it actually won't match the number of years and the months that you owe these people for. So, like, it doesn't make sense for the resident to be like, no, we had succumbed to their grievances, or we had given them a sort of... reprieve, and then they went away, making it seem like they weren't appreciating what they got, which technically they were entitled to.
Exactly.
The problem for me is the very fact that in a country that has got a dire health situation like this, you're going to toy around with firing 15,000 nurses, regardless of the fact that they could have been wrong or not.
Didn't they even say they wanted to hire more health workers in the health sector?
You know what I feel Chuenga did? I think I was having a cup of coffee and listening, like, not. Let's fire these people.
I feel like that's what they do. I really feel like those guys, when they go to bed, they'll have like a wild nightmare, and they're like, screw this. You know what? Let's just do this. Okay. Bam. And their decision is made.
My biggest.
The only effect which was missing was Donald Trump. You're fired.
You're fired. Yeah.
Here's the thing that's actually scary for me. Right? If this is before elections, and you can dare to make such decisions that are quite unpopular with people for many good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen when we are going to be with you for the next 5 years?
Exactly.
You see now.
And already, I'm already scared of a president who was in the army. Mm-hmm. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, I'm just saying, Mr. President, if you're hearing this, this is my concern as a citizen of Zimbabwe. I am afraid that this is how people are going to get fired. And maybe this is how you're going to be treating people.
Yes.
And because of that, if we do not show any consideration for the nation in this particular way, so we get it that, yes, you are saying they are crippling the health system, but with reason.
But what are you doing to then alleviate that?
Because that's the thing, because all these people are going to get into the job, are going to face the very same problems. Mm-hmm. You know what
exactly.
I mean? So we need to actually fix the health system. This is what I'm saying. And we're not going to fix it by voting out 15,000 nurses. That's my take on it.
It's obviously going to be a recurring thing. Like I said in the last show, with the doctor strike, it's a yearly thing. Every year, doctors go on strike. It's almost like a sort of signature of Zim. Like a timetable. March, April, doctors go on strike. And then soon after, nurses go on strike. And then it's a vicious cycle.
And then when second term starts, teachers
go on strike. Exactly.
So I think we need to fix the actual problem, because the symptoms are quite clear.
Mm.
Right, we've got to fix our health system, we've got to fix our education system, we've got to pay our people. Listen, you guys are empowered to make this country work, right?
Not to go to Broad and watch movies.
But do you know what they then say? They then say that the government doesn't have money. So how are we then going to... Sorry?
Where's the 17 million coming from?
Bruh. Where's the... Okay, no. what I'm saying is, yeah, they'll say that there's no money. And then I think that's basically the only reason that they use. So what other innovative ways can we then say, okay, to fix the, for example, the nurses striking?
Yeah.
How are we then going to fix that? Or what ideas do we have, given the fact that the government is this broke?
The reason why the government exists, and the reason why this country is broke, there's a reason. There's a reason. There is resources in this country that you can use. There is many things that you guys are saying you've got. Put down your plants. You've got the lithiums that are there. There's so much sun. I believe in Matabeleland. Where they, we cannot grow anything.
Solar
why
thing,
can't we
yeah.
put on, like we've been talking about, so many great things that Zimbabwe
You know, I asked this question on Twitter the other day, like on Independence Day. I was like, guys, is Zimbabwe a failed state?
If it's failed, let us accept and start.
And afresh. Restart.
And because my thing is, there is money that's supposed to come from somewhere. Don't look at us and say the government has got no money. You are in the government to make that money for us. You're supposed to resuscitate industry for us. And to me, a healthy nation is a wealthy nation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fire 15,000 people. Ajit, we get it. The health system was crippled. But maybe you should put some respect on the nurses.
That's
because
true.
You didn't do this to the doctors. I don't know if you did this to the doctors.
Okay, so Onai, Miri, let's put you in the spot.
Mm.
You're now the Minister of Health.
Mm.
Way forward.
I would rehire all the nurses, right? If there is no money, right? In fact, I would actually want to look at where is this money and how is it going to be distributed? And I would make sure that there is confidence that these people are not going to get they're not going to get fired. And explain to them exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There is a rot in the system somewhere, I'm sure, right? There is something wrong. Let's be open and clear about what's really on the ground. If we're truly broke, guys, and we're going to give you the option to leave.
We can't keep saying we're broke, guys. Mm-hmm. Year on year, we're broke. We don't have money. We're broke.
Let's make it, although I do hear that remember Fiscus, where we had agreed, Kuti, we were supposed to be giving, 12% of our 15%
for health.
Supposed to
and then it got cut more,
And then they didn't give that 15%, although this was like a whole agreement that we were supposed to be aligning to. I didn't hear that. So I'm just saying, listen, Minister of Health, and we're going to come and talk about your daughter. Antiga, help.
Yeah.
Help
it's
us.
Terrible. Fix I think, this. And it also doesn't help that the top people, when they do get sick, they get health assistance elsewhere. They go out of the country. They should actually be spending that money in Zim and trying to improve the conditions so that they don't have to travel that far, eating more taxpayers' money, which means that more money will be saved on that, and then it can be reinvested into like a critical in ministry, which is the health.
If Miriam is already saying this minister, come on, you know. She's got a phlegm. Chronic illness. Phlegm kisses. All right, let's go to Alicia Flamer. Let's talk about Ruby Nicole for a second.
I feel sorry for that.
Do you really feel sorry for?
Do you know what? Yeah, I feel like Ruby Nicole is okay. She's actually really good at what she does.
Pause. Give people who do not know Ruby Nicole the context to this issue.
Okay. So Ruby Nicole is a prominent media personality.
She got promoted as well. You know,
Who happens to be the Minister of Health's daughter.
She got fired. Yeah, Ava.
So that's who she is. I mean, so obviously a lot of people say that she grew up with a golden spoon in her mouth. Which is probably true. But on the flip side as well, I mean, I've seen how she does her interviews.
She's amazing.
And she's really good. She's really good at what she does.
Sometimes.
Yeah, she's really good at what she most of the
times.
Time. Yeah, most of the time she's really,
more like
really good.
95% of the time.
Yeah, so but unfortunately, she always gets a lot of backlash from people.
No matter what she says.
No matter what she says, even if it does make sense, she'll still get backlash because of that privilege. I'm using air quotes, that she has.
So therefore, do you think kids with privilege should be afraid and watch their tongue as far as national issues go, especially if their fathers are suspected by the general public to be corrupt? Should they be more considerate about the feelings of people? Or, listen, we don't care what you guys think.
I remember we had a discussion with Norma about this, where we were saying there's some people who, like prominent figures, they say on Twitter, sometimes they actually have to filter what they say because of who they are.
Exactly.
For example, let's say, I don't know, let's not even go to rabbinic. Well, let's say a pastor, and let's say a pastor of a very conservative church, but he wants to encourage kids to condomize if they decide to indulge, for example. Obviously, he can't then stand up to the congregation that's very, very ultra conservative and be like, listen, kids out there are having sex, because they'll be like, you know? So he obviously has to package it in a way that is sort of, I don't know, politically correct, but getting his point across in a more politically correct way.
So watch what you
and
say
I feel
you're
like
the president power,
that's,
basically.
Yeah, that's exactly what, you know, how she should handle it. Just like, well, Titima Sio should have also, you know.
Hey, listen, I want an endorsement from Equinet.
Guys, apparently the Equinet data was free sometime this week. I don't know.
Really?
To say it's an apology.
It's an apology. Apologies.
If you are Rubenoko's best friend, like, well, the one thing I will not stand for that I think is kind of bad is the guys who are saying they're going to rape her. That's wrong. It's very wrong.
That's just stupid. Terrible.
That's just terrible. It's nasty. People who are threatening to beat up, stop it. Right? Stop it. In the infamous words of our former... But I believe that sometimes Jerry once said to me that people have got... No. You should always... Don't make the mistake to assume that people are going to behave rationally. Right? So therefore, I think Rubenoko generally knows the people that she's talking to and the state of hearts that people are in, particularly about healthcare. And she is her father's daughter.
And she happens to be in the crossfire.
Yeah. Yes.
Unfortunately, you'll find that this is the same with even Fatai Mahiri, you know? Yes. They are treated the same. These people are blanketed.
But I think it's less than Ruvi's case.
She's learned.
But unfortunately, the thing is
it?
People just say you're the same. You were all privileged. You didn't learn in Zim, so... Because you're not with us. You're not struggling with us.
I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. People who are in the struggle want to hear about the struggle from the people who they can relate to, who happen to be in the same boat of the struggle.
But I feel like Fazi kind of earned her stripes as far as the struggle goes.
Bruh, she was in jail at some point for how many days? 2 days?
There were a lot of people waiting to jail, but they still led us into a country that is at this stage right now. So I don't know if that's enough. But anyway, any other things to this? My Equinet resolved. I think we kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
After 3 days, people forget about issues.
Yeah, it's a fickle thing. I think hashtags are just fickle things in Zoom and everywhere else, really.
Speaking of hashtags, just go to hashtags.com, Zim.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sharp. Hey, Mark in the building. Guys, by the way, Mark was wearing a hat when he came here. When he took off the hat, I'm like, you look like Jonathan Boy was long, lost, pimp up. I'm like, Mark, my guy.
Okay, now I'm putting all my head back.
Now you're making him feel like Nail. Remember, Nail for the longest used to wear like hats and caps in every music video. And then the last music video he did, he didn't have a hat the whole time. Yo.
Still shining when he made in the hood.
Yeah, but he's still cute though. But
let's get to hashtags.com real quick. And we're going to talk about a hashtag. Okay, we'll get it when you get there. All right. Right, hashtags.com. Today we are starting with which hashtag, Miss?
The Julius Malema challenge.
Right,
Julius Juju Malema.
Mama, send us a signal.
Mama, send us a signal.
Terrence, pretty independence, confidence.
Send us a signal, Mama. Okay, so basically, what I think, this gives us, I'm about to break English. Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay, no, I don't want to break it. So, I think basically what Malema was trying to say was that a lot of people will come to sort of mourn a person who's, will literally come and mourn a person. But during their lifetime, they were just...
You're actually against, because you're talking about the people who actually got her arrested and then now they're crying and waiting.
And saying, Mama, South Africa.
I love his confidence, though. Like, dog. I just love the way Malema is growing up.
Do you think he's growing up has always been like that, but right now paying more attention?
He's growing up. He's becoming more politically
mature.
He's becoming more politically mature.
Yeah.
And he now knows what to say, when
to say it.
He does not.
And he gets the desired effect.
He does not give two 1,300 rats behind
anyone.
Yeah, he doesn't. I think he's matured like good wine. Like he's just... But I feel like a lot of companies have just decided to overmilk the whole, mama, give us a signal, they're not buying this product. Mama, give us a signal, they're not using this product. Like, come on.
Do you know the people who are really pissing me off now?
Oh,
10,000 retweets so they can get a Beamer. I'm like, guys, chill, bro. Like, secretly, I also want to do that. Like, 10,000 retweets if you guys are going to get me, a, I don't know, like a Jaguar, because I like Jaguars, but I feel like I'm going to get curved over one.
You'll get like two.
Like, nobody knows me, except
so. Funny enough, so Black Coffee replied to one of those, hey, Black Coffee, how many were
working?
Oh,
yeah,
it's like,
one.
A job? Like, get a job, bruh.
I like the person who was like, I don't go off popularity, I go off talent. So send me, put your song here. Put your song here. Don't talk about this whole 30,000 retweets. Put your song in, let's see if you really got talent. Yes. I'm like, yes.
People don't want it easy.
I would like you guys to listen to Keep It Real Fridays, because something happened. Bulawayo rappers A$AP and Kelvin, I think they're going back and forth. In fact, it was Young Tyron who actually replied, Kelvin, I'm hoping these guys talked about it on their show. So check out Keep It Real Fridays, one of the best hip hop podcasts in the country, in Southern Africa, in the nation. So okay, let's go to the next hashtag.
Hashtag Baychella. Oh no, but we spoke about that earlier.
I can't even say that in Shona. Baychella. But I think there was another one. Mama Save Us and...
Hey, guys, that was the Julius Malema Challenge.
What other one?
I don't know. There was another one. Yeah. It's just that we didn't milk the Julius Malema Challenge. We just segued into something else.
Because to me, for me, the Julius Malema Challenge is like a very good WhatsApp joke. And I hate WhatsApp jokes because they get tired.
They right? really do.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's cool. But I really like the punch in his speech. Who do you think Mama should save us from? Who should we send in your life? Who's yes, yes. Who do you think in your life should signal ting ting ting?
Send me a sign, mama. Let me think.
There's a cough, mama.
There's a
yeah, that is sticking to me here.
What does it mean? Send me a sign.
Send me a sign. I just did Bob Buddy bad. I just did Bob. Mama, there are people in the Nook Nation who don't participate in the Facebook group, but they are there.
They're there.
Mama, give us a sign. There's if there's nothing else here, there's an interview that I'm gonna put right here. I talked to the guys from the Impro Show on the 25th to the 28th of this month, which is this coming week. There's going to be an absolutely awesome show that's going to be at Drapes called Dinner Only. Our very own Musa.
Musa.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Musa yesterday was performing at a stage reading called Windy. Like, you guys, if you did not go to this stage reading, it was all over Facebook. I retweeted it everywhere because I'm like, I'm proud of my homie. He's just doing the most. He's amazing. It was an amazing performance, and it poked so many. I remember, you know, after stage readings, they have like an interactive session where they ask people questions and comments and whatnot. Mm. I mean, some people got to the point of saying, oh my gosh, it's like so stereotypical, like the white lady, like, oh my gosh. And then like, who else? And then like the pastor and stuff. And I'm like, listen, this is someone's work. Obviously, that's how they think. They can't then morph things to make it all politically correct because it defeats the whole purpose of them doing it. If you say something that doesn't trigger people to have a reaction to something, then why are you even bothering doing it? It was brilliant.
So
basically, sorry, can I just further explain? Please. So basically, it was a pilot for a TV show that they want to do later on. So I'm not sure. I'll have to ask Musa if they're going to then continue it as a stage reading as well as the thing. But
I was supposed to be there. I got super tired about errands to run. I'm sorry, Miriam. I know Miriam called. No, are you coming through? I'm like, nah, I've got stuff to do.
Yeah, I tried to call all the noogies. I'm like, guys, are you still coming to this thing? And like, none of them
did. Mark
go?
Because apparently it seems like you're very famous for living out of things.
Again.
But I shared it. But you know, I shared it on my Facebook. I shared it on my Twitter. I shared it on my status. So if you didn't get the message, stage reading,
we have a deal with the shows. You send them to my inbox. I mean, come on.
Okay, so to learn more about the stuff that these guys are doing, type of stuff that these guys are doing, I hooked up with the Impro Show during Independence Day, and we had a little chit-chat. It was after their rehearsal, because they're rehearsing for, they were actually doing the dinner-only rehearsals.
Mm.
And I was there, spent the whole day there, listening to them rehearse. So they were a little tired, just a little bit, but we had great fun talking. So I'm going to place it right here. And I've got this new app that can do things like this. So I'm going to do
When's the show again?
The 25th to the 26th.
That's on floor. Friday.
Yes. Is from it? The 25th. Listen, you guys know your calendar. I know the 28th is Saturday, so just move backwards.
Oh, okay. Thursday. So it's like from Wednesday.
You don't go to school no more. So our calendar
yeah.
So I've got a new app which does like funny sounds. So I want you to do this before they got in. Now they call the
engine. Munozo, nonzi, ngwana, ano, anzi, benzira nongapito.
There's actually lots.
Indwangu ito pimpembe.
Hey, listen.
I love that one.
Okay, let's get to the interview. And then after that, we get to the feeling session. Sharp?
Cool.
Cool.
Okay, so I've been stuck in this room for the past 3 hours. I'm listening to people go buck wild. And today I'm with Musa in his element, I believe, together with Chipo and Kevin.
Yes.
And them with a whole lot of other people form what is called the...
The Impro Show.
The Impro Show.
Yes.
Why is everyone else not talking? Hi, Chipo.
Hi. That wasn't Chipo, that was Kevin.
Oh my gosh.
This is very
absolutely.
Hi.
Oh, okay, so just to people who don't understand, because we've got people who probably don't know what the Impro Show is, and I hate like, so what's the Impro Show? But what really is the Impro Show? Like, if someone was to...
The Impro Show, we started about, I don't know, for ages actually, 8 or 9 years, I think. And, is it?
2008.
Seven.
Eight.
No, it must have been, yeah, 2000. Okay, so maybe as long as, possibly as long as 10 years now. And we are an improv group, so we do improvisational theater, which means that basically we play various forms of games and we get suggestions from the audience, and then we use those suggestions in order to create scenes. And sometimes those scenes are very guided, sometimes they're very open and loose, but generally they have a kind of comic edge, a comic style to them.
I've been to one of your practice sessions before, because you guys hold open sessions, right?
Theater sports.
Yeah.
How long did it take you guys to actually go to like gel together and become one? Because your performance is really seamless and flawless, as far as when I watch them. So. Like, I don't know how long did it take for you guys to actually buddy up? Because I mean.
I don't know. I mean, I think we've grown as a team, and the team has grown over the years, has changed over the years as well. So we had different people. I mean, we have some people from the beginning. I think Chiba and Musa, you guys are from the beginning, really, hey?
Yeah,
the three of us are from the very beginning of the Impro Show. And then was Jamie there at the very beginning?
She wasn't there.
Not from the very beginning. She joined in a bit later on. But then we had some other guys who were there who have then disappeared off to different lives and different places, and then new people have come, so it's changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's hard to, so in terms of gelling, to answer your question, I think I would like to say that we've just got better and better over the years, basically, and we've learned from each other, and playing with different people creates a different vibe on stage, so you get a different scene depending on who are the people who are in those scenes, basically.
Chipo, tell me about the anxiety that is there when people are coming to watch the Impro Show expecting to laugh. So like, does it ever hit you like that? Okay, so if these people don't laugh, I'm gonna get a direct reaction of, I've put everything I could have possibly put into this performance and is not getting the reaction that I want. Ooh, that anxiety, is it ever off you?
Yes, that I think that's interesting that you ask that question, because it's a discussion that we have had over, especially in most recent years, about like, in a way, I think we've set it up that improv has to be funny, but it doesn't have to be. But sometimes you do go, because I think in a way we've nurtured our audience to expect laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're coming in expecting to laugh, and they're like, this has to work. So it does weigh on us, which kind of takes away from the organic nature of improv, because sometimes improv can be beautifully serious, but if you set it up as you're going to laugh, people are like,
With the funnies.
Like, yes, yeah. Like, it's great, like, that you guys acted so well, but I wanted to laugh. So, that it's, I think it's, in a way, we need to now refocus our audiences and be like, improv does not necessarily have to be funny. But then, when you look at the nature of improv, like, what's famous, like, whose line is it anyway?
Mm-hmm.
They only ever show us what's funny on TV from the show. They don't show us when Ryan Stiles and crew, when they fail or when things don't work. Whereas we don't have the of editing. If we bomb, we bomb. And it's just like, did Jesus please can you just erase that from everyone's memory?
But the funny part is just piggybacking off of that is, like, at times the audience loves the fact that we can fail on stage. And I guess that pressure is not there for us to make it seem perfect. And we can also go back and say, well, guys, that didn't work, so we're going to try it again. And so, but yeah, sometimes it just, I can't remember what show it was exactly, but one of the audience members came and said to me, it's nice to see that you guys are human. It was like weird because I think they expected us to be perfect and everything. But they said it's nice to see that you guys are actually human and you do make mistakes. And that's what I enjoyed more about it.
How do conventional comedians do? Stand-up comedians do when it comes to improv? Does it usually translate well all across the board, or you need some sort of something else besides that?
I think the two are very different. I think the two are quite different. Again, because a stand-up comic is going there with, like, I'm going to do the set and I'm going to make people laugh. And I know my delivery is like this, like this. Whereas with improv, it's off the top of the dome. Like, we're there. We don't know how things are going to go. We don't necessarily have a punchline. A scene can be 30 seconds. A scene can be 2 minutes. Like, whereas I think both of them are complicated in very separate ways. So I don't think it's necessarily like a smooth transition for every stand-up comic. And not to say stand-up comedians could never do improv, or an improviser could never do stand-up. It's just, I don't think it's as smooth a transition as...
I suppose with a stand-up as well, it's generally speaking, it's one person with their one voice. Whereas in an improv situation, it's about reaction. So I throw something as an actor, I throw something at another actor, they throw something back, and there's a tennis match that's going on, and neither of us have the faintest clue of where it's going. So they're different in that sense. You know? And I mean, I think there's some stand-up comedians who, you know, they're very scripted. They like to, you know, they have scripts, like it's word to, you know, word. Not all of them. I think some tend to improvise around bullet points, and others are scripted. It's just, yeah, they know what they're going to say word for word the whole way through the night. So it depends on the style of stand-up comic as well, I guess.
You guys do a lot of different types of, productions. Like, you're not only just improv. So it's your acting and where are you most at home? In terms of the expression of your artistic nature,
improv's nice because you don't have to learn a script.
Okay.
You just pitch up.
But where do you get that mojo though? Because you hear a lot about creatives. Just like I say before, it's like your guys' craziness is a little contagious, and I need to be out of here. Where do you guys get the mojo to still remain sane to the normal world, but when you get into it, you are like. Clown is not even the word to describe it. It's just like different beings altogether.
I think that's a personal question. Yeah, like, for each person.
So,
I don't know.
So
yeah.
let's go with you. Where did you get your mojo?
I grew up in theatre. So I mean, my initial influences were probably very much like British comedy. So Monty Python, Fry and Laurie, to Ronnie's, Blackadder, these kind of things is what I grew up on. So that's sketch comedy, I suppose. So I started out on sketch comedy, which then, but then I also was very involved in quite a lot of serious theater and classical theater like Shakespeare. So, I mean, I suppose that's my most comfortable place. I mean, I love improv. It's something that I get really excited about, and it's so sort of fun. But for me, I suppose my default thing has always been theater. But more recently, I've been getting into film and TV as well. So I guess I love the fact that it keeps getting challenged and changed, you know. So, and I do music as well. So I'd get bored, I think, if I just did one thing. If I only did Shakespeare for the rest of my life, I would just get bored. You know? Mm-hmm. I'd be killing myself. So the fact that it keeps moving and changing is what keeps it interesting.
Mm. You?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I didn't grow up acting, but I sort of got introduced to acting when I was like 17, 18 by some teacher of mine at Prince Edward. And
whose name you don't remember?
I do, Gavin Peter. But it was, and the environment of Prince Edward drama was very slapstick comedy, and I loved it. And so ever since then, I've just enjoyed comedy, and when improv came around and there was an opportunity to do improv, it just became my niche, and I love improv. And I think I have evolved to a point where my improv is my niche. Like,
that's where
I go to, you know, it's my go-to place, improv. And then everything else cascades from improv to, you know, exploring characters and everything like that in a safe environment where we can make mistakes.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. That's me.
It's like going through the whole squad.
What was the question? Mojo.
Yeah. Like, when you're going to perform, what's that secret potion that you drink when you're going to perform really well? That stuff that gives you the kick that makes you perform really well?
Green drink. Cream soda.
You're drinking Shrek juice now.
Mojo. Wow, I don't know. Where do I remember? I don't know how to answer that question. I can tell you, like, I have little rituals that I do before I perform.
Mm, do you want to share?
Star jumps.
I don't do star jumps. I listen to Valerie.
Who the hell's Valerie?
The song. Valerie, yeah.
I've got no idea who that is.
Amy Winehouse.
Yes. Oh, they were. Oh, they were.
That's like, I don't know when that started. Like, I don't know, 2010. So I listen to Valerie, and then I pray.
Mm.
I walk through, like, theater upstairs is easiest, like, it will never happen to me.
Rips theater upstairs.
The rips theater upstairs up. So I'll walk through and I'll touch all the seats, the audience mm-hmm. seats as I'm praying.
Okay.
And then I come back and I just hope for the best.
You touch all the audience seats as you pray.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people fart on those seats when they watch you guys?
I don't touch the seats, but oh. God. Posterior.
Yeah.
But I'm like saying, Lord, please
also
have a good time.
Okay.
And respond to what we're doing.
So it's actually quite spiritual for you.
I guess. Because I think during rehearsal process and stuff like that, like, I'm a fool, but I get very anxious. And I think as I've gotten older, I get more anxious before performance.
Wow, okay, that's pretty cool. Tell me about this amazing stuff that you're going to be doing on the 25th down to the 28th of April. Kevin? Or Musa? I don't know, Musa.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, Musa's our writer for this series.
Yay!
So maybe we're
going
to... So let me explain. Yeah.
Okay, so... The date again, 25th to the 28th.
Yes.
Wednesday.
How come I know the dates more than you do?
So we've been hatching this egg called dinner only for the past couple of years, or 3-4 years. And then fairly recently we got back to it. We were like, let's do something with it. And so it's a script that we devised in one of our improv show rehearsals, and I took a recording of it with my cell phone, and I was like, let me go try and write this. And so I wrote it, and then I presented it to the guys, and it's cool. And then life happened, and then came back. And then,
why does life happening seem like Kevin lived for a bit, then now he's back?
so many people left. I mean,
they're back.
We visited, worked to a head for the past 3 or 4 months, I guess. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
And got to a point where we're comfortable and I guess put it on. And so Dinner Only is a television sitcom or comedy series that we're working on, which is about an interracial couple, and their cultures clash. So the mom of the character called Ruramai comes, and she's supposed to stay for, she's meant to come for dinner only, but she ends up staying for quite a long, indefinite period.
That sounds like an African mom.
Yeah, it does. And so while she's there, there's so many things that they go through, like cultural clashes or, you know, certain things or, yeah, the issues that maybe Ruramai and Nick can't bring up between the two of them, and it takes the mom to bring it up, you know, so many things. So yeah, that's what we're going to present. So we're going to present episode 1 and 2 on the Wednesday the 25th to Saturday the 28th.
Where?
At Reps Theatre upstairs.
How much is it going to be?
It's going to be $10.
What else do people ask?
It's going to be $10. And you book through Reps Theatre Spotlight. I don't know the phone number at the top of my head.
The one is 308-159.
Yeah, 308-159. You speak to a nice guy called Innocent. He's working there. That's how you book.
I'm seeing the cast full of cool people, but I'm also seeing like an old lady there. Like on some of the, I can't wait to watch everything that's going to be going on. I'm seeing like interracial people and like couples and relationships and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to be surprised, I believe.
You are going to be surprised.
Okay, so okay, without giving out too much, right? Thanks guys for jumping onto the show.
No, thank you, and we'll see what's going to happen.
Yes. Now let me go back to the, yes, I'm going now. Going back to that room. Where can people get you on social media?
We have got a Facebook page called The Impro Show. And then we're on Instagram.
Yeah, we are.
The Impro Show.
The Impro Show.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Really, really, though.
Let me take this opportunity to warn our people publicly about the wrong practices indulged in and promoted by some of the outsiders. One of them is what they call oral sex. The mouth is for eating. Okuria. Charm. The mouth is for eating, not for sex.
Oh, guys, welcome to the Felix Station. Guys, let's start the Felix Station properly.
The mouth is for eating.
All right. The mouth is for eating. Let's tell that to
him. I think before he had actually said, Kuti, you know the address of sex. So don't be posting it where it's not supposed to go.
Hey, listen, first things first, I did not watch this, but I heard
it as well.
It was slob on the knob, like corn on a cob.
But then
guys.
It was like it was Miriam's flame 1,000 times.
Don't do that.
Someone talk me through. So talk the people through what happened with Terrence and Tapio.
I think Mark can do that.
Mark, of course. Hey. You look like the type of guy who would want your butt eight as. Guys, tell me who was. Can you please explain?
Oh, remember the hashtag fine men who eat ass.
There was a hashtag?
Yes. Fine men who eat ass.
And then I heard you could. No, guys, don't get it twisted. It's not. Eating bart that belongs to a cow.
He's
eating a man. So hey, you know, listen, I know some of you guys are from countries that allow that.
Terrence is so popular, he's even got a song,
bruh. Oh yeah.
Just the song, right? Yeah.
That's how famous he is.
Okay, alright, let me so pause this music so I can play this song. Alright. So here's the song. Yes, just play.
Kids are my words.
Kids are my words.
mpenzi watapiwa futi nditerezi akatyiwa suweji nditerezi ndikisa manu tuye uterezi ndikashara mwana anga mutiterezi ndinotya anga fanana
nditerezi
akabatiswa pemba nditerezi pa whatsapp pese ingori terezi inyaya terezi inyaya terezi inyaya terezi ina evidence as in terezi
oh my god
hola inyaya terezi inyaya terezi ina evidence as in terezi.
Funny thing whoever is, made that song should be present at the next Unplugged.
Funny enough, the song is actually really good though.
It is.
It's actually really, the entertainment value is actually pretty good.
Okay, let's talk about it. So do you think that this girl, Terence's Tapua, what's the biggest issue here that we are crying about when it comes to Terence's issue? What's getting us into the feels about this issue, as far as you guys are concerned?
First of all, actually recording yourselves doing it.
Right. I want to speak on something that this lady called Shane Ru,
yeah,
who was on the show My Two Cents. You should listen to that show as well by Oren Elliott. And I looked at something that she said.
Listen to that. Yeah, I do.
Yes,
yeah.
On social media, and she said these recommendations. I wonder if you guys want to look at them, right?
Mm.
Shane's recommendations was no sex or nude videos and pics. Girls, if you don't want to get into that situation,
yes.
Do you think that's actually possible?
Yes,
it is. I don't know why girls nowadays think that love is shown by giving your guy nudes, sending all that funny stuff. I don't know where it's coming from, but seriously, it's just disturbing, to say the least. It's disturbing. I don't know where it's coming from.
There's a guy called Seletan who's in the background, and I feel like he wants to have nudes sent to him because he was about to get up. My question is, Seletan, if you can come through, just one second. I'm going to ask you one question. Have you or will you ever send a nude to a chick? Come and speak into the mic, Baba.
I'll never send nudes, but I have been a recipient.
So why are you receiving nudes when you don't even want to send them yourself?
It's a choice.
So you food for the eyes.
It's a choice because she'll do it because she willingly wants to do so, not because I forced her to do so. That's the difference.
You are the true definition of an F boy. Who's going to be willing to have girls send all these things, but like, you know, when it all goes down the wrong way. I mean, apparently it doesn't going down the wrong way for.
Okay, my rule. If a big if I receive leads, view and delete, Baba.
When you're in college, would you ever, Miriam, take a video of you having sex?
No.
Okay.
No. Never. No.
And when you get married?
Shani also.
No. Still, do you know what? I think even if it was a sex tape of married people and it leaked, it would still have the same impact. I mean, it's an intimate, private moment that shouldn't be shared with other people.
I disagree.
And even if it's... No, listen. And even if it accidentally... Because accidents also happen, hey?
Yes, yeah.
So you can't be 100% sure that it won't... I mean, how many times have you wanted to send a message? Let's say, oh, now you're apping me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to send me a file and you accidentally send it to, let's say, your school group or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've personally done it. There's a time when I wanted to send like a selfie or something to Bay. Mm-hmm. And then I accidentally put it in like one of my professional groups. So I had to delete it. I had to delete.
It was a phlegm selfie.
Yeah. So, I mean, in as much as even if you're married and you want to make a sex tape, I mean, fair and fine, but the risk is very high of it going out, even if you don't want it to go out.
I was reminded of a situation where Megan Good sent a nude pic to her husband, Pastor Devon Franklin, who's a pretty cool dude because I DM'd him and he replied me. Imagine.
Oh, nice. Wow.
I'm trying to have him on the show, maybe. But then, yes. She did not get backlash for it because she sent it to her husband.
Did it go out into the universe?
It went into the universe because someone hacked their emails or something.
You see, but the
thing is here. I think I'm against the idea of sending nudes just because anything will leak. Although I'm not totally against the idea of two people who are in a marriage recording themselves for themselves. For the
fine,
sake of themselves.
It's okay.
But the thing is, I think the backlash goes as far as what the cultural norms say is what's not supposed to be done or not done. Because here, this was a sex tape of students at USAID, and I do not think their parents wanted them to be doing that. Because imagine your mother now knows that you lick behind. You've got E. coli on your tongue. You've got diarrhea. And it sticks on your tongue like a dead chewing gum and on his bum.
But no, Onai, that's what I'm saying, Quits. The funny thing is the people who are judging the most are the people who probably do worse things than what Terrence and Tapiwa did.
True.
And it's just a matter of them not having been caught.
So let's see.
Or caught on camera or them not actually recording anything.
So what are we saying? Yeah, are we saying...
So what I'm saying is that if you decide to share an intimate moment with your partner, don't press the record button. Don't take pictures. Don't do videos. Just don't do it.
What about no sex before marriage?
Yes, no sex before marriage. But we can't... But we can't ignore the fact that people...
Happen.
Yeah, sometimes it does happen. So... And oh, sorry, sorry. Mm. Ooh. And when it does happen, be safe. Please.
let's
be safe.
Let's talk about the aftermath.
Yeah.
She faked suicide.
Exactly.
Did she take us far back because of that?
Kind of died down like with that.
Yeah, it did. Confidence issue came. But can I just comment on that?
Okay, sorry. Before let's give people the full story. We were supposed to do this. Terrence and Tapio were in a relationship. Uh-huh. Terrence is a guy, Tapio is the girl, and they went into a relationship and they recorded moments.
And then apparently Tapiwa cheated on Terrence with Terrence's best friend, something like
and
that.
And then Terrence put out a video of Tapiwa giving Terrence head and
more than head, more than
head. Headbutt.
Headbutt.
Where did you
like Zidane?
Head and butt combination. All right. So in reply to that, she then sent a series of voice notes which went public with her crying, saying, you know what, you did me greasy. You know,
I was raised by a single mom.
And then the sister calling Terrence, who I tried, she told, oh my gosh, Tapiwa, she has killed herself. Which was terrible. That was really terrible because it really played on people's hearts.
I just wonder how old that sister is.
She sounded quite mature though.
Like for someone to do that, like for to be like, okay, now I'm going to call Onai. Onai, your girlfriend killed herself.
I've got actually the phone call. Don't you want to hear a bit of it?
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, and don't you think this is what Tapiwa? I think you know Tapiwa.
Yeah,
don't you? But after talking to her, we realized that you are the main cause of what she did. Tapiwa committed suicide. Is a V Kunoton.
This sounds a bit too calm for a person whose sister just committed suicide.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, like it went on and went on, and then she was started blaming Terrence for everything and whatever.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm not justifying what she did, but at that point she must have been grasping to kind of try and damage control what had happened, or try damage control the situation. Personally, I think she should have just denied that it was her on the tape, but she did what she did. But I think it serves to address an issue that hasn't really been concluded ever since the advent of sex tapes in Zim, where people aren't really being persecuted for sex, for revenge porn. Yeah. What is happening to the people who leak nudes and videos and all that jazz? How are they dealing with it? So because if they're not even getting a slap on the wrist, then what is going to stop another boyfriend or another really angered or vile person from letting these nudes out in the future?
I think maybe that's where the conversation is supposed to be at, unfortunately. But it's just sad. I just feel like, don't... Yeah, it's crazy. But the suicide thing is pretty messed up.
Yeah,
it really is.
Because you don't think really a person is like that, because now who's ever going to believe that this sister and this girl can actually ever be honest
about anything?
About anything, you know what
so
I mean?
So, when I heard that...
Obviously, it's the wrong thing to be thinking about when the real issue is revenge porn.
Exactly.
Yeah. When I heard that whole recording, you know, I just felt bad. Like, oh my God, really? She had to kill herself. And I remember going home. Mm. It was on Tuesday night.
Mm.
I remember going home, talking the issue with my aunt about everything. You know, like, you know, we're really touched. Like, damn.
And then later on, you realize it's a hoax. Like,
sorry.
And I feel like it's also trivializing issues. Like we were talking earlier on about mental health in Zimbabwe and in Africa, where someone is actually dealing with issues and demons that they are only seeing.
K-O-D.
And then you joke about suicide. It's a very, very, very morbid and dire thing to play with.
It's first, because now how many people are actually going to believe when someone says someone committed suicide because of you?
Exactly.
Or I feel like committing suicide because you did this. It's just ruined this. Okay, I don't want to say it ruined this girl's life indefinitely, and I hope that, unfortunately, the tough lessons that all of them are learning from all this. Stop having sex if you guys are not going to be responsible for the consequences that you're going to be dealing with. I know this sounds like a very bad victim-blaming thing, but I'm saying it on both of them.
Stop recording yourselves
and
having sex.
If you, okay, and stop recording yourselves having sex.
Unai wants to record himself.
Okay. No,
Unai wants to record himself.
Listen, listen, I'm not going to do that. But I don't know. okay, listen. But my thing is, like, it's so sad because the messages are just so conflicted now. Like, what do we even deal with first?
Exactly. And I'm just thinking, what was she thinking when she said, okay, let's call tennis and tell him that I'm dead.
But do you know what?
She was trying to put down this. You need to understand that the sister was trying to have these people put down this video.
But dude,
listen, hold on. Listen.
But it was late. I think it was late, though.
Desperate measures. Because at the end of the day, I haven't seen the video. So maybe it's not that. But okay, fine. It's out of choice. But here's the thing. This chick is now going to. Any girl called Tapio from now when they're going to get interviewed, they're going to be like, are you sure you know that Tapio from the sex tape? What the mouth do though?
Like, I really feel like
the mouth is for eating, guys.
You know that, yes, was
she
it?
She can't even go to freaking Uganda now, right?
But because you don't know. But that's what I'm saying. She should have just denied. Remember that time when Lumumba's sex tape came out, and then that chick. Okay, there was a very similar looking chick who was like, "Hey, are you the chick in the video and whatever?" And she denied. She looked snap. She looked like her freaking doppelganger. And she was like, nah, fam, that's not me. That is not me. I should have denied.
They look different, though. Like, seriously.
That's what I'm saying. You should have just said, it's not me.
Now sex tips a lot.
Yeah, come on, dude.
But also, sorry, can I just add on to the suicide thing? A lot of people also use it as a bargaining chip when they want to stay in a relationship. Have you heard of people who are like,
what do they expect Terrence to do now that
because it was already out.
So I mean, what was your, what did you want?
I think they wanted. I think they wanted to burden him with guilt that he caused her death.
This just shows that we've got very weird.
I was talking about this other day. What if Terrence then went and killed himself?
Imagine. Actually,
that's true.
What
if
Terrence
had then gone and killed himself, like, for real, you know, like,
it will literally be like a Romeo and Juliet thing. She thought that Romeo was there, and then both of them died.
It's not worth it. Let's talk about other things that are not worth it, right?
The confidence.
Right. Confidence.
Okay. Do you know what? I've got a conspiracy theory.
Just before we... Hold on to the conspiracy. Hold on to the conspiracy theory. If you did not see this on your WhatsApp, then your WhatsApp is dead.
What is there?
Right.
Titty pregnant.
Backstory. So, backstory. Mark, you want to give us a backstory to this issue? Yes, please give us. And Miriam, you're next to the conspiracy theory.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Mark,
so, confidence. Okay. So, apparently, confidence is a student that uses it.
Mm-hmm. Use it is popping these days.
Sure.
It's taking
better than MSU, eh? Hey, listen. I'm from MSU and Daesh, bruh.
They're beating you on niggas.
Hey, bruh.
All right. You know what happened?
Use it is doing the most. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, confidence was a student that used it. And apparently he was dating three girls, four girls actually, over 3 years.
Yeah.
Bruh, how deep is that?
Yeah.
At the same university.
And you have to deal with schoolwork for 3 years.
No, he had them doing his assignments, obviously. You want this date?
Bruh.
But what if they were doing different courses? What if he was doing sociology, they were doing economics
and
engineering?
So, okay.
And something
they're all just definitely doing biology.
Clearly. So, confidence was dating these four girls over 3 years. Mm-hmm. They didn't find out, and two of them fell pregnant.
Yes.
I mean,
and then
they
caught him in a room.
Yeah. Once apparently they created a WhatsApp group, they called one of them, called him over, and then bam! Exactly. That happened.
Right.
So myself, I got a lot of flack from people. I mean, like, okay,
what is your opinion on this?
What he did was wrong.
Yes. I feel like he's gonna defend confidence.
No, wait.
Yeah.
What he did was wrong, first and foremost.
But
way I commend you, confidence never raised his voice, he never beat anyone up. He just chilled.
Right. Miriam, what's your conspiracy theory?
My conspiracy theory is that I feel like the confidence issue was used as a cover-up for the Terrence and Tapioa issue. Mm. Like, in my head, I don't know, maybe it's a writer's mind where my imagination runs wild. But what if these guys, what if Tapioa, Terrence, Confidence, and the four girls were all a ring of friends at UZ? Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, listen, let's do damage control. Now let's really do damage control and let's create another trending thing. How do we know that those two girls are actually pregnant?
I mean,
it might be a reach, but I mean, you got to think about these things.
You think with all these issues that UZ were connected,
you know?
It's a small school, guys.
Sorry.
So I was the first recipient of that conspiracy theory.
Yes.
And I asked Miriam, are you willing to, you know, tarnish your image for the rest of your life? Remember, this is social media. With the internet, this is out there forever. Are you willing to tarnish your image forever?
Listen.
Just because
I've got a curveball. Listen. Tapioa's sister decided to court Terrence.
Sorry. This episode. Keep going. Okay, I'm done.
Tapioa's sister decided to court Terrence and feign Tapioa's suicide. Mm-hmm. Right? She did the most. I mean, how does it reflect on her?
She did not expect it to go out and become this wild, though.
And then she made that call. So, what if Tapioa's sister is some rich, I don't know, very rich chick who's married some rich dude, and she's got money lying around, and she decided to pay off Tapioa's little friends to come up with the second story to cover up the Terrence and Tapioa story.
Is any amount of money worth it?
Listen, all these girls.
College kids, listen, guys.
Hold on.
What about
MSU? Not too many people called Confidence in this country.
Exactly.
Right? Imagine now every time he's going to go look for a job. Again, he's been plastered on H Metro, bruh. Listen, if I'm going to meet a guy called Confidence, who's that tall? I'm going to be like, yo.
But technically, it's not even Zimbo.
How about your phone?
Apparently, it's not Zimbo.
It's not Zimbo.
Someone said he's South African. No, I saw on Twitter South African.
Zim men don't cheat.
And then the guy said that he's Malawian. I mean,
because Zim men don't cheat.
So I don't know what he is.
Preach, Baba.
I don't know what he is. But anyway, that's my conspiracy theory. But then my other issue, apart from the conspiracy theory, let's ignore that for now.
Because definitely, like, Miriam, you're taking us on a wild.
I don't understand how people in college have sex without protection.
It's simple. There was a study that was taken and showed that a lot of people actually, like, weirdly, Zimbabwe has got one of the largest uptake of condoms in Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I think it's not number one.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
However, right, there's also a study that shows that condom acceptability in Zimbabwe is low. And this is because...
But we use the most condoms.
No, we import the most.
Oh, we import the most, but we don't use them as much.
We don't use them as much. So... actually, men who are in committed relationships, but this is men who are in relationship, who are in sexual relationships, mm-hmm. have said that I think half of the times they're in sexual intercourse with multiple partners, they're not using any condoms. And this is because people think that the condoms that are procured by the government, which are made accessible to everyone, are whack.
Madimbari,
those little panther ones.
Listen, just so you know, those panthers are made by a company called Carex Industries.
The same people make Carex.
There we go. And just read the packaging.
No, yeah. But then, exactly. You know what?
There's two companies making, one called Qingdao, one called Carex. But just reading the packaging alone will show you that these condoms...
And I mean, guys, do you think then the government would get us something that is whack so that we... What you need to understand,
we test them. Like, and I'm not... This,
oh, by the way,
yes,
I'm
not going to wear that hat, but I just need you to know that the regulatory system, then the way it works... These guys should pay me for doing this. You will not find any condom within a shop, right?
That hasn't been tested.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like they are tested before they actually get into the country, like before they get into the market. That's what we are here for.
Mm.
They need to pay me for plugging them.
But still, Onai, my point is that I remember when I was in college. Okay, maybe it's because I was a peer educator as well.
Mm.
The issue of multiple concurrent relationships was hammered into my head from first year. Guys, if you're going to have multiple concurrent relationships, be protected. There are a gazillion different ways you can be protected. There's the male condom. There's the female condom, as much as it's not that popular, but it's there.
It's there.
And it's there to protect you. You've got access to it. There are clinics in every college. Mm. There are supermarkets. Protect a plus unit of 50 cents. 5 rand. It's everywhere.
And 5 rand is far much more than some of the, far much less than some of the clothes those slay queens were wearing.
Right?
Mm. But listen, like one test though. All this my slim ting ting. Did you notice?
He's got a type.
I'm thinking, like, do you think anyone is going to want to date those girls or confidence after all this has happened?
Nah.
Guys.
And I'm not saying this is the crux of the issue, but I'm just thinking, like, dog, use it has to have something done about sexual reproductive health education.
That's the thing. Yeah, I guess.
There has to be,
yeah.
Because at the end of the day, shenanigans, guys will cheat. Men sometimes are trash. Yeah. Although they're not Zimbabwean guys,
but
will cheat.
The bottom of issue the matter is that
you are having nyor, and your parents are having nyor.
Yeke baba.
Yekes.
Yeke.
Like imagine the parents no kuti mwana wangu angachita zvimbeda.
I mean, it's a double whammy. Like, so I think for parents, even knowing that their kids are having sex, it's like, oh my gosh. But
So
I think it comes back to the issue of education with regards to sexual reproduction.
It does.
And health, There isn't much being done with regards to, teach people,
I think a reasonable effort is being made, but also at the same time, it's a matter of people being able to listen and internalize what they're talking about.
Let's start with the fact that sex is glorified in colleges as if it's something that should just be done anyway.
Yeah.
And to be honest, this is what my homies have told me, other homies have said.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to speak on them.
I won't lie. When I went to MSU, we'd been having these stories. We've been hearing these stories. Hey, MSU this, we can say, wah, wah, wah. And when you go there, you go with that expectation that, hey, I'm going to be hitting you 24/7, right? It's going to be easy like that.
And then you find out it's actually true.
No, it's not.
Actually, when I look back at the college, right, I realize that there are many instances where I actually could have indulged in sexual intercourse and I didn't.
It's a choice that you make. And I feel sometimes in college people just have a blinkered approach to things, like confidence, where he's like, he knows fully well that he's having unprotected sex with four of these girls, right?
That confidence is scary.
And he doesn't know, first of all, I bet you they probably haven't been tested regularly, right?
Yep.
And second of all, I mean, how has he not done by, hey, gosh, I'm in the field. Has he not done biology where if you have unprotected sex, the chances of someone falling pregnant is like...
Question. I've got a question for you guys. So I've heard that in committed relationships, which I guess all these girls thought that they were in, if you have sex once, condom, sex second round, no condom, the rest you're going to have it year kids. Now, question is, do you think that it is worth it to try and invest in the idea of protection, yet when people are going to be in committed relationships, they're not going to be using condoms anyway? Or we should be looking at other methods. And I know Jerry is probably saying, I don't even talk about abstinence.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's be practical. People are having sex. I said it. People are having sex in college. So we can't... Let's not put abstinence in this discussion because it's already out the window.
Do you not think that the whole... We are not having positive conversations about sexual intercourse in the first place for people not to be scared?
Yeah.
Like, when you're in college, I think a majority of the kids in college are not in any position to become parents.
No, they're not.
Worse still... College is a crazy place. Your girlfriend might be cheating. Your boyfriend might be cheating.
Exactly.
And now is not the time you should be risking yourself and not having condoms.
Where she came from, she probably left a boyfriend or another girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And you're coming here and you're finding someone else.
Because if someone's roaring dry bimba with the...
Dude.
I think if you see anyone offering dry bimba, generally, what a girl is saying... You're a dry bimba. A guy is saying you're a dry bimba. And there is no... I used to hate no marriage because marriage is kind of like, But like, I feel like in this college... In college...
College setups. College relationships. Guys.
What if the girl says she's on the pill?
Be safe.
Still.
It's not...
Still.
The pill doesn't work. First of all, all these family planning methods are not 100%, right? Some are more than others. We should have Noni on the show, actually. But anyway, some are more than others. But... I feel like a lot of people are more concerned about, oh my gosh, I'm going to fall pregnant, more than
I might get HIV,
gonorrhea, syphilis, and all those other STIs.
What
if she could be on the pill? What if she skips? And remember, with the pill, you have to take it the exact same time every day, at the exact same time. Saka, if you go out, if you go out clubbing on a Saturday and you are 7 o'clock and you get hungover and you wake up at 1 o'clock, it doesn't work. Or it might not work. correct me if I'm wrong, Noni, out there in the Twitterverse, anywhere,
yeah,
you know, or anyone who works in the health sector and who's a professional at this.
Me.
But that's, but basically that's what it is. And I mean, guys.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's actually crazy.
So anyway, still on the confidence issue.
Yeah, we're going to need to wrap up now. A bit.
After that, I was like, okay. Everyone was just glorifying the way confidence was being beaten up. I didn't like it.
You think that question I was actually going to ask you is like, no beatings are justified, but do you think that the anger that these girls had justified the beating?
Nope.
You don't think anger justified the beating?
No anger justifies the beating. No
at
anger.
All?
Doesn't matter, bro.
I don't know.
No, serious.
Guys. Mark, put yourself. Mark. Okay. Mark, put yourself in those girls' shoes.
Miri, still, guys.
Yeah.
Guys. Those girls' shoes is not where confidence was.
Imagine if it was four guys beating a girl, those guys would be in prison.
But here's the thing. Do you know what? I understand and I'm fully aware of the conversation of equality, right?
Uh-huh.
However, right? Okay, but it's just a double. It's just a double entendre. It doesn't make sense. Because I'm trying to think, the idea of four boys beating up a girl, just the idea of a man beating up a girl,
you see,
is
now
crazy. A woman beating up, I hate to say,
because men are physically stronger, Mark.
So what? You're just trying to beat me?
No, but I'm saying, though.
I was dragged to see Anna, Mark.
But listen, I'm going to honestly keep it real. If This is a really crazy take. But if I was cheating on four girls, right? No. Do you know what? Black Sheep hit me up and she's like, you know, that was a light beating. Imagine if they threatened to cut his penis off.
Ooh.
Which, to be honest, actually could have happened. Dude. So, do you know, Mark, you actually could be right. Because it was tantamount to domestic violence. And if you have gone, if they took taken a knife, held that guy back, and maybe the guy has been tired because he jabbed all four of those girls and got the energy in his legs, and said, we're going to cut off that thing
that is causing all of this.
It can escalate to this, so Mark, you're right. You can't beat up anyone. It doesn't matter. Slippery slope, we can't. I can't.
I then ask myself, how many men are suffering out there in silence, you know, getting beat up by women, but they keep quiet? How many?
You mean four women or just one? Dude. One or four, it doesn't make a difference, doesn't it?
It doesn't make a difference.
Anyway, it makes a difference.
At the end of the day, we are one Nemkazi. And how many men are quiet? You know, like seriously.
But then they.
It's actually a very serious issue for me. How many men are getting beat up on a daily basis, but they keep quiet about it? You know? So, I mean, I didn't like the way how people were just laughing it off. How those girls are deep. I personally didn't like it. I was hurt. You can even go home and ask my husband.
It was hurt.
You hurt. Like
I was
confidence.
Hurt. Yeah. My confidence
yeah,
was hurt.
Yeah, but I know jabba one willy-nilly.
We cannot then say just because he was jabbing people willy-nilly, then
I feel like...
Because it's almost like saying, this woman cheated on me.
I'm not condoning the fact that they beat him up.
But you kind of understand.
But I'm kind of understand where it's coming from.
And I'm saying, Miriam, would you understand still if four guys are beating up one girl?
For cheating, because we do know girls are actually doing
that. Would you understand? Which is still
understand. But you see, in our society, people sort of are more receptive to men cheating than to women cheating.
Nope.
Yes.
Men cheating.
Yes. Women cheating.
I don't think after confidence.
Listen. The treatment that a woman gets when she cheats versus the treatment that a man gets when he cheats is different.
None deserves a beating.
Exactly.
None deserves a beating. But emotions. But you have to understand also. You have to understand also that women are very emotional creatures.
Are you gonna say that in the next show when I'm gonna say women because of their emotions do this? Because if you're gonna accept and say women are very emotional creatures, you're gonna have to stick with that argument every time. When we're going to be talking about women in the workplace, right? And we're going to say, women are emotional. Fadai was emotional because women are emotional creatures. Listen, the world we live in, we're either going to take it all or leave it all. If we're going to keep it a buck, if we're going to move by that, then we're going to say, yes, we understand that some beatings are deserved. And we also need to understand that, therefore, men are not equal to women in different circumstances.
In different circumstances.
And therefore, this gives a blow to the whole feminist movement.
Exactly.
But okay, like I said, I agree with you. Any beating in any context is wrong.
I know. I get your point, Midi.
It really is. Like,
I get your point, Midi. I honestly do. I understand your point very well. But I'm saying, can you see how weird the world is?
It is very weird. Yeah. It's very strange. But hey.
Yeah, anyway, like.
My one.
parting words.
Oh, there's actually a confidence rhythm. There was a Terrence song. Oh, there was a Terrence song, and now there's a confidence rhythm.
There was a whole movie. Chocolate Revenge of the Slay Queens or something like that. Zimbabwe, y'all are crazy. But it's funny that we can laugh about that.
Ah, it is.
Let's hope the confidence is not your son one day.
Aish.
Choose wisely.
I'll never.
And talks if parents are listening to this, talk to your kids about sex.
Hell, talk to your brother who's talk to your sister who's cheating with four chicks. Talk to your homie, four girls, whatever, whoever if it's cheating, because you still get the thing.
Talk to confidence 2.0 is talking to five chicks.
Exactly. And be safe out there. Condoms are 50 cents or free in some places. Yeah.
Hey, well, at work they're free. Like
college, I'm sure they've got them.
College, they have them. But I think college also the problem is that Kuma clinics call, they might be all judged and whatnot.
No, they're in bathrooms. They should be in bathrooms.
But how safe are they in bathrooms?
From what?
I think they should have a dispenser. How safe are they? Are they just left in a box there?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, how safe are they? Yeah, they should be in a dispenser that people cannot access if they do not want to use them.
I think we need to open up the conversation about condoms a lot more.
We really do. Right.
Cool. So, guys, we really need to cut it off now. Thank you very much for listening to the show. I'm super happy. Do we have any big shout outs that we want to go before the show ends?
Shout out to Geotechnocrat.
Obvious.
We still don't know what a Geotechnocrat is. Shout out to Condom Geotechnocrat.
Siliton is giving me a signal, yes. Oh, he wants us to give you a shout out to Keep It Real Fridays. Keep It Real. Zimbabwe's number one hip hop platform, not even podcast. Right, shout out to them. Listen to that podcast and all the other podcasts on Capital 263. Yeah. Politics and Beyond, The Hangover Show.
The Hangover. My Two Cents is awesome, eh?
Mike's It Match.
Yeah, well.
263 Chat is there as well.
Tech Knowledge.
So many shows to choose from, guys. You can listen to any one of those shows. Please support us by downloading shows, rating, giving a rating on iTunes and anything. And thank you very much for listening. I want to all of you who hit us back on Twitter. From the Slim Sims, big shout out to the original Mabena. I see you on that new podcast in Sky, so shout out to you guys. Some really woke stuff. Please tell us more. We should actually talk about that new podcast as well. Mm. So big shout out to you guys. I'm on now online on all social media platforms except Facebook. You'll find me in the Noog Nation. Miriam?
You can also find me in the Noog Nation group on Facebook. Mm. And you can check me out on Twitter, Happiness Chaser. And you can check out my blog,
Award-winning WordPress. Award-winning blog.
I always forget. Award-winning blog, yes. The Bits at Banter series, mirinyakuzuka.wordpress.com.
Shout out. Mark,
yes,
my guy.
Yes, thank you very much.
By the way, thank you so much. You've been amazing.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah.
Kang is Mark on Twitter. I'm too ugly for Instagram.
Coolest monkey. No.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Coolest monkey.
Yeah. Oh, remember that H&M thing?
Yeah. Coolest monkey. Yeah. So thank you guys for having me. It's been fun. Well, this is the first of many.
Yes, definitely. You're gonna be back. We say that to all the strays.
It's like don't worry.
No, but you know, Mark, you've been legit lead up.
Yep.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm blushing.
He's actually been the coolest of the strays.
Hey, I'm not going to put that out there.
Oh,
I do not judge strays. I don't judge strays. Because maybe you've got four strays and they'll be like, oh no.
Oh, so you didn't you thought I was whack.
Yeah. Very confident podcast. Mark.
Yeah.
I endorse Bedsit Banter to everyone wants to be a confidence out there.
Yeah. Everyone
wants to be confident.
Right. Yeah, no, especially when it comes to juggling all your goals and you don't have money, you know, up on a cash.
Oh, yeah.
It comes in handy.
Right. Yeah. Okay, guys, thank you very much for listening to this very long episode. You can spread out throughout the week, you know. You can
5 minutes, fetch your ticket, anything.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be here next week.
Oh.
I'm going to be in Skies, I think, next week.
Mm-hmm.
So in Skies, let's link up. Mabena, I want to see you in Skies.
You should take like selfies. You could even do like an interview or something.
Next week we'll do in Esposisomoyo on you, fellow Zimbabweans.
I don't know what's gonna come up with next, but I'm sure there's gonna be something. So
yeah, of course there'll be something. There's always something.
Please let's go watch Dinner Only on the 28th.
Yes.
Musa acting. He was on an Echo Show ad as well.
Oh yeah. Sorry, can I also just do one final shout out? Mm. Shout out to Patrick Mills. He's also a playwright. Mm. He wrote a play called The Prophet, and it's going to be showing at Haifa.
Does he listen to this show?
He should. He actually does. He actually does. He's in the group as well. He does.
You,
yes, he's amazing. He's also the owner of Writer's Cafe.
Oh, congrats.
Yes, he's
congrats.
Yeah. He's like the dude. So shout out to you, Patrick.
All of you.
Woo!
My Twitter.
So make sure that you go and watch as well, because okay. I mean, stage plays are amazing, guys, yeah, for the culture.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And now. Capital 263.